Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. Matt Catrullo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There he is.
Basket case the whole show. Oh, boy. Yankees are playing the Astros in an afternoon game. You are going to be an absolute basket case.
Yeah, 2-1 Astros right now, top of the sixth.
Yes, God.
Not a great
Achilles
start.
Your Achilles heel. And now, yeah, it's the first of two games.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a big week for the Yankees. You got the doubleheader today with the Astros. I mean, you do have
gigantic,
the...
Gigantic.
Yeah.
Wow. It's July. Gigantic. How about that? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So let's start semi-local. James Harden, his deal is official. He's going to get $33 million this season. And he's going to get $35.6 million next year as a player option. He's doing this for two reasons. One, he's doing this because it gives the Sixers flexibility. Huge. They've already signed Tucker and what they signed somebody else too that can shoot, right? Something like that. And the other reason is nobody in their right mind would give him $47 million, and he knows it.
Yeah, they've made three signings so far, basically. DeAndre Melton, DeAnthony Melton from Memphis, and P.J. Yeah. Tucker. Yeah. And then one of his former teammates, I can't think of his name at the moment, from the Rockets. Yeah. Too. So they've made three signings so far.
Well, depth one was signings. A trade. One was a trade.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it wasn't a signing. It was a trade. Look, it's a two-year deal with the Sixers. He wants to win. Now, he's got to play way better for them to win. I mean, he was no better than okay for them this year. And I don't want to... 21 points a game. Watch the games. I mean, really, how active. And when they really needed him in the Miami series, when Embiid was hurt, he did nothing. But he's making less money per year than Ben Simmons. Simmons getting $35 million this year. The guy doesn't even play. Doesn't even play the game. Last year for the Nets, he was as active as Matt.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
So that's what he's doing. The other news the Sixers made was the downtown arena.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about it. Oh, I think we lost Steve there for a second, just like how James Harden was with Brooklyn. But yeah, so the Sixers' new arena is going to be in Center City. And this is not even going to happen for like another decade, because the Sixers are still signed on with Wells Fargo Center through 2030-something. I'm trying to bring it up right now. It's a $1.3 billion arena in Center City in the Fashion District. It's a privately owned project that's going to be. It's called 76 DevCore. And apparently it's going to bring a whole lot of economic opportunity and stuff to that part of Philadelphia. It would generate $1.9 billion in overall economic output during the construction and $400 million annually upon opening. So the Sixers are deal at Wells Fargo Center runs out until 2031. So I'm guessing this would be ready for the season after that, though it's unknown still at this point. And the biggest issue is why fans are kind of torn about it is, A, you're going to lose what was the best sports complex in the U.S. hands down, because you had all four teams right there with the Eagles at the Link, Citizens Bank Park with the Phillies, and then Wells Fargo Center. Plus you have Xfinity Live, which has been down there for several years now. You have the new hotel and casino that just opened up there a couple years ago. So it's a really nice complex now, and you kind of upheave it a little bit because now you're going to Center City. I get the idea behind it, and the idea is about to look nice, but I just worry about, and a lot of this is the biggest concern about everybody in the Philly area, is traffic and getting to the arena. Because SEPTA down there, if anybody has used or knows of how SEPTA operates, which is the subway system in Philly, it's not great. It's needed updates for a while, hasn't really been touched. It's not a great service to use. So you would be relying on that heavily, because it's the new arena would be right by that one of the stations there. And so they're going to be making people rely on public transportation, but apparently they say there's plenty of parking but different garages and stuff that are within a 10-minute walk from the arena. Well, who wants to do that when you go to the sports complex, you park right at the arena or across the street at the Link or Citizens Bank Park, and you're right there? So that's my biggest beef with that, I guess, essentially. And a lot of people are from that end. So that's where that goes there. So we'll get Steve's take on that in a moment. Plus, we got loaded guests today. We got Greg Pickle from On 3 coming up in the next half hour. We got Neil Coulong today at 4:06. Bob Grove with some Pens off-season talk, reacting to Evgeny Malkin's deal from a couple of weeks ago. And the return of Chris Letang, too. He signed that deal a while back as well, so we'll recap that and more with him. All coming up today. You're on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 630 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 630 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Matt, in a fit of rage over the Yankees losing, cut off the feed.
No, actually, I'm really not that thrilled with this new Sixers arena.
Well, here's the biggest flaw in all of it, the biggest to me. We are in an era where we need to do everything we can to get people into venues, okay? And the biggest flaw in this is the arena looks beautiful. You know, the idea downtown, great. Except for one big problem. Where do you park?
Exactly what I just talked about when you dropped off there. And you have to deal with SEPTA, and I don't know if you've ridden it, Steve, but I'm sure you've heard plenty of stories. It's not the greatest public transportation system. So you're going to be relying on that because there's a SEPTA station right there at 12th and Market, I think, which is where the arena would be. And apparently they say there's plenty of other parking lots in and around that would be 10 minutes or less walk to the arena. But guess what? If you're parked in those garages in Center City, it sucks. There's no other way to say it. It's not the greatest thing in the world. It is not a typical, nice-looking parking garage that you'd find like in New York or something. It's just not a great experience.
So let's just take some venues. Fenway Park. Oh, look, there's a Sinclair that's open. Let's go over there. Okay. And you park at the gas station. I mean, they don't have parking. Although one time I actually got parking under the center field seats because I got all this special consideration passes, whatever. And I took my brother with me. Well, he goes, I never knew this existed. I said, neither did I. But they don't have any parking. Barclays Center, awful. Madison Square Garden, awful. You got to take the train in and out. There's no question. Right, but then you go across the river to the Giant Stadium. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. Right
it's
off,
great.
Right off the highway, right off Route 3.
And lots of all around it, parking.
Yes.
Parking. That's why I laugh anytime I've got a fan tell me, well, the parking at Penn State Hotel. Hey, excuse me. Hey, as somebody who's been around a little bit, okay, and I've been, I think now I've done games in one form or another in something like 56 different stadiums, something like that. The parking at Beaver Stadium is awesome. You have no idea how good you have it. None. So many places I go to, like, where are they parking? Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska. You know, places you would think would be wide open. No.
Yeah, that is surprising.
USC, no. They got parking garages, things like that. USC.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, USC is a little more open than you think, but no, but they've got parking. Austin, University of Texas, no. Alabama's okay. Notre Dame is not great. Michigan, they park cars on the golf course. Like, no, I mean, Alistair McKenzie designed the Michigan golf course and Augusta National. He rolls over in his grave every other Saturday in the fall. But the parking here is great. That's part of the fan experience. The ease with which you can get people in and out of your venue. You've got to do everything you can to make sure the fan doesn't need to do extra work to be there. That's why you have to go through and think of every scenario. Philadelphia's parking for the Phillies, the Sixers, the Flyers, the Eagles is great. Not good, great. Pittsburgh, not so much. Then I always love the idea, and it's in concept, it's beautiful. Like, let's take the PNC Park and Heinz Field. They're right up against what? The river, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful setting, right? And what's the negative of the river?
Well, it's not really anywhere to park.
Exactly. It takes all the places you could park, it's not there.
There's basically, in between PNC Park and now Acrisure Stadium, there's like two small lots that the bridges go under.
Right.
And then there's a parking garage like a half a block there. Other than that, you got to park over at Station Square and take the ferry over, basically.
We've got parking garages and public transportation. What if I want to drive my car, okay, right, and just park and have a short walk? It's 2022. You got to think of all this stuff. You got to think of it. And the downtown idea is great. The Center City idea is great. The concept of what the arena looks like is great. But everything. That's why I've talked for years, and the people who are against finishing 322 from Potter's Mills into State College, I totally understand where they're coming from. Totally. But realistically, it's got to be finished. Realistically. Idealism is one thing. Realistically, it's got to be finished. All those people that come in from northeastern Pennsylvania, from the west, now from the southwest, you know, with 99 now finished, hooked into 80, hooked into the Pennsylvania Turnpike, those people, it's everything changed for them in terms of in and out. But from Harrisburg, you're flying along and all of a sudden, boom, and Potter's Mills, we're down to two lanes. Well, that's just great. There's going to be some realism that comes into play. Idealistically, I totally get where you're coming from, completely. But there's a realistic aspect to this that has to be taken into consideration. It's got to get done. You know, they finished Milroy. They finished the Narrows. They finished Dauphin. They finished up to Potter's Mills. They've got to finish the whole thing now. Got to. Makes no sense to have a 107,000-seat facility with a two-lane road the last 5 to 7 miles. Makes no sense.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department taking care of inspections, routine maintenance, oil changes. And not only that, diagnostics for the tough stuff, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Record low for the All-Star Game, 7.6 million fans. The primary complaint, too many Yankees in the game.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
No? Not it?
In fact, the chatter between Nestor and Jose Trevino when they were in the game, I thought that was one of the best audio highlights of the night.
I didn't watch really hardly any of it. You know, to me, All-Star games have become just a worthless thing to watch, meaningless exhibitions, but it's still the number one All-Star game, 7.6 million. Pro Bowl got 6.69 million. The NBA All-Star Game, 6.28 million. The NHL All-Star Game, 1.15 million. So it's still number one among All-Star Games. But at one point, let's see, the last time they were over 10 million viewers was 2015. 30 years ago, that game used to bring in 20 million viewers. Two-thirds of the audience has bagged out. It's just, there's nothing to it. You know what I mean? It's, okay. Not only that, say, so hey, I'm excited. Bednar's out there. I'm a Pirate fan. So my guy gets out there, right? And guess what? In 2.5 weeks, he's going to be with somebody else. He might be on your team.
Eh.
Eh. Eh? Better than Chapman.
Well, anybody's better than Chapman, but I'd rather them go after another starter.
Another starter? Really?
Yes. I want Castillo or Quintana for the Yankees. A lot of people want Juan Soto. Eh. I don't think... I wouldn't totally hate it, but I would rather them spend that money on a pitcher than another hitter.
You have to give up starting position players to get him.
Yeah, and no.
Which starting position players are you going to give up? Torres? Okay. Kalefa? Donaldson? Hicks?
Right.
Who are you going to give up? How about a one-for-one? Aaron Judge for Juan Soto. He's quitting on you anyway.
No, senor!
Or,
no, senor! No, senor!
Or Giancarlo Stanton, because Soto hits after the fourth inning.
I knew you were going to go there with that one. See,
I'm just having fun with you. Okay. All right. Let's bring in Greg Pickle on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Greg, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you. I have not done that, and I have nothing to brag about on the golf course, but I did enjoy the Open yesterday. And, man, Wimbledon in the books and the Open in the books, and that means just one thing, Big Ten media days and a start of Penn State football right around the corner.
Well, the SEC is doing its media day right now and down in Atlanta. Greg Sankey, their commissioner, who has a real feel for making the right moves at the right time in a lot of ways, basically didn't call any of the presidents until a week after, said, we're not going to panic. So let me ask you, you see USC and UCLA, we were all shocked by it, but, you know, what was your thought the day it happened, and what's your thought now?
Yeah, you know, it was certainly a fascinating way that the whole process of that worked out. Obviously, it was in the works for much longer than the couple hours between the news breaking that it was going to happen and the official announcement actually coming. But, yeah, certainly I think if you're the Big Ten, you're looking for ways to respond, not just to the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma coming in soon, but just to the changing college landscape in general. And you know what? If you're not first, you're going to be last in this industry. That's always the way it's been. That's always the way it's going to be. So my question then is the same one as now, is just that what else is coming? The Big Ten seems content on sitting where it is at the moment, but I just have a very hard time believing, Steve, that by the time these two schools come to the Big Ten in 2024, that there's not going to be some other West Coast or at least western part of the country teams joining the Big Ten. I just don't think that we're going to see only USC and UCLA be the two that are the only ones that are a part of this equation. So time will tell there, but certainly, it's interesting. I think that if you're USC and UCLA, you're about to find yourself with a whole lot more revenue money from television and everything else. Of course, we know how far the Big Ten is ahead of the Pac-12 in that regard, and obviously the alliance is no more, or certainly probably never was. But yeah, when you really break it down, certainly a major change to the college athletics landscape coming soon, and it's still one that I think we haven't fully wrapped our heads around, Steve, and it's going to take some time before we really see how all this is exactly going to play out.
Greg Sankey, though, made an interesting point today, which is the point. The reason the SEC and the Big Ten stand out, and he grouped the two of them together, is that they're the ones that bring value. Is there anybody else other than Notre Dame out there that actually does bring value and increases the number for everybody?
You know what? I don't know if there is. I mean, obviously, I think if you looked at the various other Pac-12 options that are out there, I just don't know. You know, maybe a Washington gives you something you don't have, or a Stanford perhaps. But, yeah, ultimately, I just don't know if that's the case. And I think the same would be said if you looked at the ACC. I mean, of course, you could maybe try and get – a school or two down in the southern part of the country, and maybe that expands your footprint more. But look, I mean, the Big Ten Network has made so much money is because it's on so many various cable platforms and Direct and Dish and all that across the country on the standard tier. So, you know, how many more places do they have to go to be everywhere on the standard tier? You know, I don't know. I don't have that information in front of me, but I certainly think that, you know, when you really look at where the Big Ten has gone over the last number of years since the Big Ten Network existed, you know, there's not too many places left where if you're in a hotel room or if you're at a bar that, you know, you have to have some kind of special package to get Big Ten Network. So I think, you know, of course, Notre Dame and as a place that would add beyond just the TV value. I mean, they would just add so much as a brand themselves. But, yeah, I'm not sure how many other options there are, and I think that's why you see places like Washington and Oregon, who clearly seem to want to join the Big Ten, find themselves a bit stuck at the moment because the Big Ten has to decide what it wants to do.
For a long time, you worked very hard on the recruiting end of it. Now, Ryan Snyder does a brilliant job with that. But as you're watching this play out, you know what they recruited last year. You're seeing the verbals they're getting this year. Do you feel like Penn State, what kind of job are they doing right now stacking classes, in your opinion?
Yeah, about as well as you can do. And, of course, we have, 6 months or so until this class can sign. So, you know, they have opportunities to have more success. And, of course, there's opportunities for guys to walk away from this class like we saw with Marcus Stokes. So I don't really foresee any more of those. You just never know what's around the corner, especially with the way your season goes and everything else. But, yeah, very good job at this point. I mean, it's really impossible to reconcile – not impossible, but, you know, when you match the 11-11 record over the last 2 years on the field, and then you look at the recruiting classes and the one that's coming now, certainly Penn State's recruiting at a very high level, and maybe some would say maybe better than what their on-field results have shown. But – you know, at the end of the day, it's about first getting those guys to campus. And we already have talked about before, Steve, the number of guys in this class of 2022 who might be immediate year one contributors or maybe be ready as soon as year two and things like that. So you feel really good about where things are there. And you look at this class of 2023, and there's candidates to possibly fill that kind of a role next year as well. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. But all told, they are doing a tremendous job of putting classes together back to back to back. And now it's about, as it always was, making it happen on the field. So we'll see how they do with that this fall. But, yeah, you can't knock the recruiting effort at all. They're number 8 in the On3 team consensus recruiting rankings. And Alex Birchmeyer is now a 5-star on the consensus. Jevin Williams, of course, is an On3 5-star, 2 offensive linemen, interior guys from Pennsylvania and Virginia. So, I mean, they're doing very good across the board, really, position by position. They don't have a quarterback in this class yet, but beyond that, they have pretty much everything they've wanted and hoped for, and just picked up Tamir Robinson and Tony Rojas, 2 4-star linebackers. So that really caught things moving on that side of the ball for Manny Diaz and this defense. So, yeah, I think they should feel very good about where things are right now and the way they've been going. But, you know, as we always talk about, of course, it's about continuing to stack classes and then stacking results on the field as well.
Right. Next week will be Big Ten Media Days. James Franklin will be there with Sean Clifford, P.J. Mustipher, Jair Brown. What would be and Kevin Warren. Let's start with Kevin Warren. If you had a chance to sit down and have a one-on-one with Kevin Warren, what would be one of the first one or two things you'd want to ask him?
Well, I think the first thing that's going to come up probably immediately, but if not, would just be where they stand with this television deal and what are they going to do now that they have USC and UCLA, and are they going to make kind of a short-term agreement with the idea being that they could go back to the table sooner rather than later with possibly more conferences or things like that, or how are they going to go about this, and really how serious are they about streaming options, and what do they think about that? I mean, I know that smart TVs and Apple TV and YouTube TV and all these things are becoming more and more part of the normal lexicon and things like that, but at the same time, I just don't know how many Penn State fans are going to be thrilled if Penn State and, let's just say, Illinois or Rutgers 2 or 3 or 4 years from now ends up as the Big Ten's Apple TV streaming game of the week. You can't get it on Comcast or DirecTV, you know. So I'm very curious about that, and that really is something that obviously I think all sports leagues, some more than others, but all of them ultimately are going to go this direction. But you know, who does it affect? I mean, does it affect your, there's a disproportionate number of schools that play the Friday night games in the Big Ten, and that's right. because you don't want to put your biggest draws there necessarily. You're trying to create a buzz. So does that same thing happen with streaming, where, you know, maybe a Northwestern or an Illinois or a Rutgers or whatever, you know, they play more of those streaming games than your Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan? You know, I'd be very curious to see how that plays out.
All right. All right, so James Franklin is also going to be there with Jair, Sean, and PJ. So what would be one or two questions you'd like to get the ball rolling with them?
Yeah, so I think the first thing, and it goes to Franklin and obviously TJ Mustafer to an extent, but where are they at with both Mustafer and Adisa Isaac in terms of their health and availability heading into the 2022 season? I mean, are both of those guys expected to be ready from day one? Or are they going to maybe have to sort of wean them into the season and maybe have a snap count early with hopes of getting rid of that quickly? You know, where do they stand there? What is the expectation there? I think that is, you know, arguably a enormous question for this program because, you know, their defensive line is being retooled a little bit. They need all those guys to be ready, healthy, and ready to go from day one. Will they be? We're going to have to wait and see. So I think that certainly is one. And then beyond that, you know, we've hit on a lot of things so far this offseason, be it Sean Clifford back for another season or Mike Yurcich, you know, in the second season of his tenure here. Manny Diaz is obviously here. I think one thing that'd be interesting to me is where do they feel like they're at with the install after spring practice of Manny Diaz's defense? And we've heard a lot of confidence about what they're going to be able to do with this new defense and with his scheme and things like that. But it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. So how much more time do they need in camp to get to that stage where they're comfortable and confident and happy with where things are heading into the opener at Purdue? So I think I'd probably focus most of the time, Steve, on defense because obviously the offense, we know a fair amount of the guys back and we know that there's some newcomers there and we can always talk until we're blue in the face about what will the offensive line be like. But ultimately, you know, there's a lot of questions on defense too and things to figure out there as well.
Yeah, I mean, no question. Any other coach that in this conference you look at go, well, I'd like to ask him a couple of questions, and who would that be and what would it be?
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to sit down with P.J. Fleck to talk about the fact that Kirk Ciarrocco was gone for a season and now is back as his right. offensive coordinator, two seasons I guess it was, but was at Penn State for a year and then spent last year as what, an analyst at West Virginia, I guess. So I'd be curious about how that reunion came to be. I don't think it's very common in this sport to see things like that happen where you leave a school and then go back to it under the same leadership of the head coach only a few years later. So that would be interesting to me. You know, I'm curious to hear Jeff Brohm's take on this Thursday night opener. Obviously, it's different for both programs. They get to host the game, so what excites them about that or what concerns do they have about that? Ahead of Penn State Purdue on September 1. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of interesting coaches around this conference, and you can sit there and kind of pick the brains of many of them for a few hours each day during Big Ten Media Days, which is always good. But, yeah, if you maybe pick one or two, I think I'd probably start there. And, you know, you can always get into the hardballs and days of the world, but I think we all know what we're getting at this point with those guys.
What do you think of the Thursday night opener?
It's interesting. I mean, I think from a fan perspective, they should be excited about it because you get to see Penn State football a little bit earlier than you otherwise would have, and they're going to be the national TV game and all that. I mean, I know that we're so used to a traditional Saturday game, but, you know, we've seen more and more changes, whether it's the big noon kickoff, and, you know, your best games used to be in primetime, and now they're at noon if they're on Fox. And, you know, we've seen some different dates and things like that, especially around the first week of the season. We always see some unique dates. So I think it's a showcase opportunity for Penn State to be on national TV, on the road, in the opener. You have a chance to set your season off on a really good starting foot, obviously, but then also showcase the recruits who are, in most cases, not playing high school football on Thursday night, and they're playing Friday or Saturday, of course. So you might have some more eyeballs tuned into you than you otherwise would just because of the timing of when you play. So I think it's a good opportunity. I know it's, again, unique and certainly something that I know some fans probably just hate and will never find any good reason to like it or any good reasons about it. But I think there can be some positive that come out of this for Penn State. But at the end of the day, as we all know, it comes down to whether or not you win that game and in your season, the tone of it kind of goes from there.
Exactly. Exactly right. They also hate the noon kickoffs. They don't want noon.
Yeah, that's not a big fan favorite either, no.
No, I mean, they don't want noon kickoffs either. You referenced Smart TV, but to your credit, you've made the show Smart Radio. So thank you. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Steve. Always good to be on with you, and we will see you in just a couple weeks, I'm sure.
Greg Pickle on 3.com. Blue White. All right. Interesting tidbit from the SEC Media Day, and it came in interviews, not press conferences, but interviews. Nick Saban. You know, even the great coaches, you know, sometimes something happens that they never thought of. Will Anderson, the linebacker for Alabama, if he stays healthy, he's a top five pick. He is a terrific player. And he was asked in a press conference, when did the Nick Saban intimidation factor end for him? He said, well, one day in practice, he called me by my name, Will. So at that point, I said, I kind of felt like, hey, I was pretty cool with him and the whole thing. And in an interview on SiriusXM, Nick Saban was asked about that. And he hesitated for a moment and said, I never thought of that. Because he was asked, when do you start like calling them by their first names and everything like that to kind of ease that? He goes, I'd never heard of that. He said, I'd never thought of it. He says, to be honest with you, it's something I'm going to be very aware of from now on. Like, take in our own organization, Roger calls everybody by their first name. The suit is, hey, you, can I see you?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
A lot of problems. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, isn't that interesting? Something like you'd think coaches try to think of everything, especially on the motivational side. And suddenly they sit there and something as simple as that, and Nick Saban says, I never thought of that.
He's surprisingly been more open to the media lately.
You know, you want to know why? And he gives a lot of credit to his wife, Terry. She told him, she said, look, you're not good in interviews. You're not good in press conferences. You've got to, like, open up a little bit more. Show more of the personality I see on an everyday basis. And he's like, oh, get out of here. I don't have to. And she encouraged him. And he's been very open about that, that the reason he's like this now is because she sent him in the right direction.